everybody. This is episode 62 of Eat, Drink, Write, an Urban Fantasy Whiteboard. We're going to talk about beta reading today, how to be a good beta reader, and a little bit about what we as authors might want in a beta reader for our own books. That could be a whole separate topic, but I did touch on it. But before we get to that, how was your week?
It was rather hellish, actually. On Thursday, last Thursday, which was the 4th, March 4th, I guess, from when we're recording this, I suppose. But I had to give a department talk in front of everybody that I work with, like the entire, it was like 30 people. So it was not too many people, but it was like, you know, a decent number of people that I talk to and work with every day. Had to give a talk in front of them, and it doubled as my committee meeting for grad school. So all of my committee members were there. And basically what they do is like, are you doing well enough to keep doing what you're doing? Or are we going to basically tell you you're failing and you have to like light a fire under your ass and do
better? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that was like two things wrapped up in one. So I was the stress ball all week. I didn't sleep very much. I didn't write at all because my brain was focused on this talk that I had to give. It ended up going very, 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 very well.
Good. Very
so,
good.
Like way better than I expected it to. Apparently the talk was great. And my committee member, with a committee meeting, they typically ask you like a bunch of questions to make sure that you know what you're doing. And most of the time they're supposed to be mean about it. Like they'll ask you things that are really hard questions. And so you have to study up and like read a bunch of papers. They asked me zero questions. So I guess my talk was good enough to cover anything
nice.
They would have asked. So it was a very stressful long week, but it was good to get that out of the way, and the talk ended up very well. So
very good. And that's part of why we're recording this on the day it's going to come out. This comes out at midnight tonight. So
yeah.
We're recording and I've got to edit it and post it. So forgive us for the editing issues because I don't have as much time to get this edited this time.
Yeah.
And next week for me is Chaos Court. So I've been ramping up for Chaos Court. So we'll have issues recording next week too, because I'm going to be in the middle of that. I did get to work on my Etsy stuff. I've been making wine glasses and t-shirts, and I'm drinking out of one of them it was one of my first ones. You can't really see. For those watching, it says witchy AF.
Yeah.
I've got a whole line of witchy stuff on my Etsy shop, and witchy t-shirts and Christian t-shirts and funny drinking t-shirts and drinking glasses. So I got a lot of that done because I've got to go up to Helen, which is where one of my booths is.
Yeah.
And restock. I haven't been since October because of COVID. I've been afraid to go.
Yeah. I mean, it's a busy place. So,
yeah. So I've got to get up there and restock everything. Worked on making magic wands. I have magic wands. Etsy is completely sold out of my wands. So it's just been a crazy week and no writing, no even thinking about writing. I haven't even thought about Harper, which is the one that's been talking to me. Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are you eating and drinking?
I ate before this cause it was a loud snack, but it was one that I really wanted. And it was, pita chips with salsa. And it was really good. And then I'm drinking tea because after we record this, I'm planning to go for a run. So I figured some caffeine, and no alcohol before a run was probably ideal. So yeah. I've got English breakfast tea.
Nice. Get yourself all pumped up.
Yes.
We're having filet mignon for dinner.
Ooh.
But your father's upstairs working out right now, and I'm doing the recording of the podcast. So we'll make that after. And then I'm drinking my wine. I wasn't going to drink because yesterday we had a family happy hour and I drank yesterday, and I'm trying not to drink too much because it stalls your ketosis and I'm not losing weight anymore. So, but it was a trying day. So
was it a typical Monday?
Typical Monday. So I'm drinking out of my witchy AF glass.
Very good. Very good.
I have jokes.
Oh, of course. Let's hear them.
All right. Since we're talking about beta reading, I was trying to find that kind of related joke, and I came up with some that were kind of cute.
Yeah.
So What does a beta reader have in common with a vampire?
What?
They search for typos.
Great.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
What do you call a writer who worries too much about writing errors?
What?
A typochondriac.
Oh, God.
Two fonts walk into a bar and the bartender says, "We don't serve your type here."
Oh, I love it.
So those were cute and they're actually on point.
No, those are very good. Those are very, very on topic.
Yeah. So tell us about beta readers.
All right. So to start off, I feel like most of us probably know this, but just to kind of get into the groove of things for the episode, what is a beta reader? So a beta reader is a person who reviews finished manuscripts before they're published, providing the author with feedback from the reader's point of view.
Yeah, I think of beta, and I don't know if this is where that term came from, but in the software industry,
yeah,
programmers release beta versions of new programs, like in World of Warcraft, we play the beta versions,
right?
And it's to a select group of users to test it out so they can work out the kinks before it comes available to the public. So in publishing, it's the same type of thing. You're having a select group of, quote, users test your subject matter for you before sending it out to be published.
Right. No, that's awesome. That's that's a really good way of, I wonder if that is where it comes from.
I think it might be. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, neat. These beta readers can be friends or family members. But the important part of it is really having them approach the book as a casual reader. So pointing out things that they liked or disliked about your book, highlighting the elements, that writers become blind to as they're doing editing and revisions. And, you know, cause I found one time, I don't remember if you pointed it out for me, but like I use the same words in the short span of paragraphs or whatever. And I don't notice it because I'm doing the writing or whatever.
Well, and as we read it, we know what we think it says.
Right.
So we don't always catch what it really says because we know what we meant.
Yeah.
So a beta reader does that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
A beta reader is not an alpha reader. So the alpha reader is the first person who reads and provides feedback on your manuscript, usually while it's still at the first draft, which I find interesting because I think you're like all of my, like you're like a beta reader, alpha reader, whatever, wrapped up into one. Because the next point that I have is that beta readers are also not critique partners.
Mm-hmm.
And those look at the manuscript with a writer's eye, not a reader's eye. And so they're paying attention to craft issues instead of like, was the story good? Did you enjoy it? And like that kind of thing. So.
Well, we tell each other, and usually we are each other's alpha reader. I don't think I have any other alpha reader but you.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I just want you to tell me if this story is good. Don't look for typos. Don't, you know, just depends on what I use you for the alpha, but I also use you for the beta.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Beta readers are kind of a quality control that we use before getting it to our publisher. But we should not rely on them to do the job of a professional editor. That's a different thing as well.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with that 100%. Yeah.
It is a great idea to use the beta reader before sending it to the professional editor, though, because otherwise you're wasting your time. The beta reader is good at finding out things that are obvious.
Right,
so
right.
You can get those out of the way so you're not wasting time and money on having the professional editor deal with those. You can clean it up with the use of a beta reader.
That's a really good point. And I think that's one that's like really important. I'm glad you put it in here. You know, to make sure that it is important to have beta readers and that kind of thing.
And you said readers. I think it's probably good to have more than one beta reader, although we rely heavily on each other. You have Sydney as well.
Yeah.
I have your dad as well.
And Courtney. Courtney's right on.
Courtney. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's good to have, especially people like Courtney, who is not a writer.
Right.
It's very important to have a person that is not a writer have their input.
Yeah, I agree.
Because you and I see too many things. We get bogged down in the writing side of it. And sometimes even as beta readers aren't able to step back far enough, we get caught up. I mean, I have that issue watching TV shows.
I agree.
Oh, the writer didn't do that well. This is, you know, so I get lost. I don't get to enjoy the content
right
because I'm bogged down in what's wrong with the writing. which we need. Yeah. That's why I want you to read it as a beta reader. I need you to tell me what's wrong with the writing.
But absolutely.
We need non-writers to tell us about the story.
I agree. I've noticed with like you said, TV shows, but also just like books and movies and like that kind of thing. You know, I definitely pay more attention to the craft, even if it's positive. So like not even for critiquing like negative things about the story, but I find like, oh, that was a really cool like crafting element that they just used. So I'm not even looking at it as like a, oh, I just enjoyed that story. Like that was a really good story. I'm like, oh, they did this thing. That was really great. As a writer.
Karen Moaning is brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, and we always talk about not wanting to be pulled out of the story.
Yeah.
But sometimes her writing and her mechanisms that she uses are so good. I do want to take that time away from the story and just enjoy the craft that she wrote with.
I agree.
Yeah. Oh,
so good. Same with Kresley Cole, although I have the issue where it's like, I will try to study her craft and then actually end up just reading the story.
Yeah.
So,
true.
You know, interesting differences there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So why do we want beta readers? So they're meant to provide honest and helpful feedback on an author's work before they pursue publishing. And this is to help create stronger stories and a more enjoyable experience for their readers once it's published.
Yeah. And on the flip side, why do we want to be a beta reader?
Yeah.
I like getting new material I've never seen before,
absolutely,
helping fellow writers that aren't famous yet be better.
Yeah.
And there's always the little quid pro quo, you know, if you help people in our community, then they're going to help you as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Give and take kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you know, I used to be in a writing critique group and it was great. And we rotated, you know, every 2 weeks we would post an excerpt from our stories and we would all critique that one excerpt. And then the next week, you know, we would post another one, whatever. And it was really, really good. And that ended up falling apart due to COVID. I think all of us were just too busy to be able to do that anymore, but like it was a very good give and take, help each other, critique our own work.
Yeah. I've got a group also that we still follow each other on Facebook. It was through Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them has now, she's pending publication, which is awesome.
Wow, nice. That's
so fantastic. Yeah, it was really cool to read her before. You know, someday she's probably going to be famous and we're going to be able to say, I was a beta reader for her. I mean,
that's great.
How cool is that? Yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. So yeah, you covered why we would want to be beta readers. So how can we be a great beta reader? How can we be a good one? And I got a lot of this information from DianaUrban.com, how to be a great beta reader and give helpful feedback, written by Diana Urban.
Mm-hmm.
So the first point that she made was, know the author's goals for this feedback.
Yeah, that is, I think, the number one point. You've got to know what the expectation is. You know, if you go in it and you're just saying, oh, it's a great story. And they're like, no, but what about the typos that, and you weren't looking for those. You've got to know to be a good beta reader. You've got to know. And so that's why I always tell you when I send you a chapter, okay, I need you to look at this. This is what I'm struggling with. Tell me if that part works well.
Right. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Cause like, what if the author wants feedback on content? And like you said, the beta reader was actually looking at typos.
Yeah.
You know, so definitely want to know the specifics about what your author wants from you in terms of feedback. So, you know, content or grammar or typos or continuity, you know what the author is looking for so that it isn't a waste of time for either one of you.
Yeah. Although you might be able to give a person a different perspective, you know, a reader who doesn't, normally read that kind of thing. I think you talk about this later, but it's not a bad idea to get other input. I hate to say, I don't want it to be a waste of time. And that's a true statement, but, you also want to open yourself up to outside views of things that you might not have thought about, but it can be a waste of time if someone isn't familiar with your genre.
Right.
At one of our seminars that we go to in Atlanta, I had a critique done, and the lady that did the critique is apparently not an urban fantasy or a fantasy type writer, because I had Baba Yaga was...
Oh yeah. I remember.
She's like, that sounds like Baby Yoda. I don't think you should use that word. You should change her name. And I'm like,
you can't do that. I can't, with Baba Yaga.
Baba Yaga is Baba Yaga. I can't change what her urban myth is. So she, if she had been an urban fantasy reader, she probably, I mean, I think most of us have all heard of Baba Yaga, whether we know, and I think we did an episode, one of our myths and monsters had Baba Yaga in it.
Yeah.
Or Baba Yaga. I think there's different ways to pronounce it.
Right.
But I thought that was interesting. And so that critique wasn't helpful to me because I can't change. That's like changing Yoda to something else. Yoda is Yoda.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So, yeah. So just be aware on who you're giving it to and what you're expecting from them. But it is good that they might can give you a different perspective from outside of your genre.
Definitely. Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Place the focus on the right things.
Yeah.
So you just want to make sure that you're focusing on what the author is interested in getting from this feedback, as well as, you know, whatever you're interested in focusing on.
Yeah. You know, keep track of timings of the scenes and information. I've had questions as a beta reader come up, probably on your stuff, where I'm reading and I get pulled out of the story because I have this question that comes up and you've answered it, but you answered it a page from there.
And oh,
so
I
always point it out to you because as the reader, it pulled me out because I had the question before you were ready to answer it. And
right.
So it's just something to let you know so that I'm not saying you have to change it, but it made me stop, pulled me out of the story. And so maybe you do want to move that scene up where you answer that question before the reader goes, wait a minute, why would they do this?
What? Right.
And then, oh, two pages later, oh, I get it.
Oh, I see. Right, right.
So yeah, just be aware of the timing. That's super important information for the author.
Yeah, no, I agree. Make sure you're the target audience for a manuscript that you're asked to read. And I think that you just talked about this a little bit a second ago. So it is subjective. Target audience, you know, there's obviously no definition for what a target audience is. It depends on your novel. It depends on your story, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you like reading urban fantasy, beta read for urban fantasy writers. You know what you like in the genre, you know, the tropes and the cliches that if you're more familiar with the genre,
mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of thing.
Which could be very helpful, you know, if someone's doing a vampire story, they need to know this is the same thing that's out there. You've done nothing different.
Right.
And, you know, that's for them to take your opinion and do mm-hmm. with what they will, but it helps if you know that genre and you know all the vampire stories that are out there and this is the same old, you know, maybe they're going to twist it up later. And by the time you get to the end of the book, it's fine. But if you start going, oh, yawn, this is the same,
right?
That's a bad thing. And you need to make sure that the author knows so that maybe they can, if they're going to twist it, maybe they can make that twist come sooner.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, you might be biased against a genre if you aren't familiar with it, or you might be against one that you just don't vibe with. Like, you know, I like romance sometimes or whatever, but, you know, I'm probably not going to beta read for it. Cause like, I'm there for not the romance part of it. I'm there for the story behind the romance. Like I want to mm-hmm. know, you know, like Cressley Cole's novels, like definitely romance novels, but her story throughout the entire series is incredible.
Yeah, it took me
and the romance is fine
ever but... to get you to read those because of your bias.
Uh-huh. So mm-hmm. right, so I would not want to be a beta reader for a romance novel specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because, you know, it's a fine genre, but I'm not going to know all the tropes and I'm not going to know all the ins and outs of writing a romance, so mm-hmm. I might not be as beneficial.
True.
So, you know, let the author know if the book that they've written is not a good fit for you, because it'll be more helpful for them to ask someone else to read it for them.
Yeah. And it'll be a waste of not only your time, but the author's time as well, if you aren't going to click with that story to be able to tell them what they need to know.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Another thing to do as a beta reader is to keep a notebook with you as you read. So vague feedback is not helpful in general.
Yeah.
General. Not even drinking.
Mm-hmm.
authors want to hear more than, oh, that was good. Because, you know, that's nice to hear. It's, you know, you love to hear that your story was good. But, you know, when I had a read, I add comments to the Word document, like, oh, this particular thing was good. Or on this page, you could do this instead of this. Or you, like you said, you know, you answered a question 2 pages later when I had it here.
Yes.
So you definitely want that specific feedback.
Yeah. The comments in Word are invaluable. That's how you beta read for me. And yeah. I can go through and it's, you know, it comes out onto the side and you tell me exactly what you had, you know, and you even can write in, how about wording this way? It was a clunky sentence.
Right.
You know, and that's what I need.
Right.
And so you don't have to go searching for it. You can fix it right there in the manuscript. If you do it in a hard copy and they handwrite on it, then you've got to go back to your manuscript on the computer. And once you start editing, these pages that you have in the hard copy aren't going to be the same pages that you have. It's just a mess. So that Word, those comments that's invaluable. And I actually didn't know anything about that until you taught me, because I hate Word.
I love Word. I love it so much. But I, academia uses Word. So like, you know, I'm in college. That's what everybody uses is Word. Mm-hmm. And in order to edit scientific manuscripts, everybody uses the comments and the track changes. Mm-hmm. So like, that's how I learned of it, mm-hmm. was through Work. So that,
and you and taught me.
Yes. And it's fantastic. I mm-hmm. love it so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So be specific about the thoughts that you have as you read and write them down for the author. So, you know, whether you use Word or not, just like write down somewhere the thoughts that you have.
I think I'm going to create a form little booklet that I'll put on our website for beta readers, and specifically where I ask questions that authors may be looking for, that you, so you can write them down as you go.
That might be something we can do for our patrons.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know what the word is.
Reward them, I guess. I don't know.
Reward them. That's it.
Give them something for being wonderful.
Right now I can give them wine. That's about all I'm good at right now.
Well, all right. I'm sure they would like that too. All right. Okay. So the next thing I have is to provide both macro and micro feedback. And I had actually never heard of these terms before. Like, I had never heard of this type of thing with those words. But upon reading this article, like, I knew what they meant. So macro feedback would be like the overarching problems that affect an entire novel. So, you know, inconsistent character voice or issues with consistency and plot, like that kind mm-hmm. of thing.
Something or personality that affects changes, you know,
right,
your
exactly.
character wouldn't do. I hate it when I'm watching
yes.
a TV show and I'm like, she would not do that.
Yeah.
That they've built up where we know her so well, she would not do that. And they're doing it because they are trying to get the plot to where they want it to be. And I hate that.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Yes. I think macro feedback is super important.
Extremely. Yeah.
What is micro?
So micro is like the sentences or minor plot points that could be improved. So like, think about a character that swears super often. And if they suddenly start saying, oh, shoot, or darn, instead of shit or damn, that's mm-hmm. a micro issue. So you would want to point out those things.
I think I had that issue in Dern Dragons.
Really?
I struggled with the cursing in it because it just wasn't right for her.
Oh.
But I wanted her, I mean, it's normal in today's world, everybody, you know, saying shit is not
every other word.
Yeah. It's just, but I struggled with it for her. And so I came up with the crap it,
mm-hmm.
which the fairies actually introduced her to. And so crap it is everywhere. Your dad actually came up with that.
He says it all the time.
And I think that's where I got it from. Or it might've been that he got it from my story.
He might have. It's just, it's hilarious. Cause something will happen. He'll go, oh, crap it. And I'm like, all right, Dad.
Yep. Fairies are here.
Yep.
But I think I did struggle with that because I was like, people talk, they say shit, they say damn. Yeah. And I had a hard time. She didn't want to.
Yeah.
I didn't want her to not be a realistic, relatable character.
Yeah. I mean, we could probably do a mini on swearing within books.
That's a good idea. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, because, you know, some people are, you know, they don't want to read a bunch of swearing and they're not in the books that they're reading. And other writers, you know, writers maybe sometimes don't want to use that language either. I, you know, think of Mercy Thompson. Ben swears like a sailor, but Patricia Briggs does not use all those words. You know, she'll talk about how colorful his language is, and Mercy notes like, oh, he had a few choice words that like I wouldn't repeat or something, you know, things like that. So you can get across like a very vulgar character without using
that's true
the profanity.
And it makes me think of the Karen Moaning Fever series where Mac, it was Petunia for ass, and because, you know, and they're Southern Georgia girls.
And
her sister were. And so that is realistic.
Yeah,
being raised here in the South. And so, yeah, there are ways to do it. And I did struggle with that. So I probably need to make sure that I work that out. I haven't I need to reread the whole thing and make sure that I've done that. That's a very good point.
So that's like the micro feedback that I'm talking about. It's like those minor things, like very, very minor, easily fixable. But also does need to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
That said, start with giving giving macro feedback and then work your way down to micro feedback. Cause macro I think is the big picture items and you definitely want to make sure that you point those out.
Mm-hmm.
And then reference page numbers whenever you can. So like if you've got a notebook or whatever, just like make sure you write down a page number, like on this page, this happened. On this page, you should fix this sentence or whatever.
Maybe why using the word with the comments is a really good way to go. I bet there's other programs out there.
There probably are.
For editing and that kind of thing. I'll have to look and report back. Or you all tell us. You all might use stuff that we don't know about. That would be great.
Consider character motivations when you finish reading the manuscript. So mull over the book once you close that back cover. Think about, you know, did the ways the characters acted make sense? Think about, you know, meetings with other characters, introductions, think about character thoughts, character voice, that kind of thing. And also don't limit that to just the main character, but also side characters and antagonists. You want to think about all the characters as a whole.
Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. But then, you know, that said, do think about the main character. So think about their arc. You know, did the main character change over the course of the novel? Were they challenged? Did they have to solve and resolve conflict? And did they go through any growth? Because I think all of those things are extremely important to get your reader attached to the main character, as well as like have your reader feel satisfied with the story.
Yeah. Did the arc make sense? Because the author is going to think, oh, I did this great job. So as a beta reader, it's our job to say, I don't feel like that arc was complete, or I don't feel like, you know, I think I've talked about that movie, Truth or Dare. That character arc is one of the best I've ever seen. And for it to be a horror, grade B horror movie.
Yeah.
I liked it. So I wouldn't call it grade B, but your dad would. but to watch her character arc, you know, as writers, you know, there's memes where it's, this is what I think it is, and this is what it really is.
Yeah.
That is what you're trying to help the author that you're beta reading for do.
Yes. Yes.
Another thing that's really important is world building, especially in urban fantasy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So you need to, as an urban fantasy beta reader, can you see that world clearly? Can you envision those scenes and that world as a whole? Does the magic system make sense? You know, point out if they can only use fire magic and all of a sudden this character over here is using water magic or whatever it is. Those are the things that a beta reader needs to make sure that the author knows.
That's a really good point. Yeah.
Can you envision the characters? Does the culture make sense? You know, we read a lot of fantasy novels where entire cultures are built, and even urban fantasy can have entire cultures built, especially if it's, what is it called? The menagerie.
Yeah.
If it's the menagerie, the magical community may be its own culture that regular humans, muggles, so to speak, don't know about.
Oh no, it's masquerade.
The masquerade.
Yeah.
I don't know what I was thinking. but yes, the masquerade, if, you know, so does that culture make sense? Like in Frickin' Fairies, the Fae are not known to the normal humans. You can't even see them until you have the sight, which is unfortunate for Beck that she gets the site. So does that class that I've made, this magical class, does it make sense? Does the magic work together? Do the different communities within that magical community make sense? Is it too muddled so that you get confused and go, well, wait, were the vampires this and the werewolves this, but they both can do, you know, make, that's part of a beta reader's job, is to make sure that the author knows. I had one in my Chitara story.
Yeah.
Dragonfire. I had a friend from the DA's office read it for me. And apparently I used similar body language for two of the female characters.
Oh, what a good thing to point out.
Yeah. And he's like, these two people, you describe them the same way. And so I had to back away and change the description of those. I didn't even realize I had done it. So he did a great job. That was Stan.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Stan Hall here in Gwinnett County. also note the pacing.
Oh, yeah.
Are there parts of the story that drag? You're going to want to point that out. How is the flow? Did you notice that when you went from one chapter to the other, that was too abrupt, or you're left going, what happened?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Cause I think that's one thing that I ask you every single time that I give you a book of mine to read, is how did it flow? Like, mm-hmm. did it flow well? Mm-hmm. And you're always really good about answering that question. Mm-hmm.
Well, and also, and we could probably do an episode on this too, but how to end a chapter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's something that I'm really good at, but there's so many different ways that you can end a chapter. And, you know, I love the cliffhangers. I am very, very good at cliffhangers, but sometimes that's not the right point. And so you're able to say, mom, that's not quite, you didn't finish your thought, even though, yeah, it's a great cliffhanger. You weren't done telling that scene wasn't done yet.
Right.
So that's important. Are there any areas that didn't have enough information where you're like, but wait a minute, what about such and such? I didn't get the detail that I needed.
Yeah.
Or are there areas where there's too much info, like an info dump, which the girl in my writing critique group had told me that the very beginning of Frickin' Fairies was more of an info dump. And so that was one of the first things I went back and corrected. So that's a great thing to know. Info dumps are generally a bad thing. There's a lot of information, and a beta reader's job is to tell you, you know, you need to figure out a better way to get that information across. This was boring. It was too much, you know, number one, number two, number three, number four. And also, I think we talked about this before too, writing intense scenes, comic relief and that kind of thing.
Yes. Yeah.
If there are intense scenes, note how the writer got the reader out of those scenes. Mm-hmm. Was it appropriate?
Oh, right.
Were you left just, you know, was it something that bothered you, or was it done well?
Right.
That's a clue that I would like to have, you know, if it made my reader feel terrible, unless that's what I was going for, I don't want that.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And then, yeah, like you said, the transition from those types of scenes, like definitely, if you're, especially if you're going from a very dark scene to, or intense scene, like you said, to something that's more lighthearted or maybe not as serious, or what have you, there needs to be a decent transition.
Yeah.
There. And it might be a chapter ending, you know, like you said, cause you can end on an intense, scene with a chapter and then jump into a new chapter. And that's a okay transition.
You know, the Wheel of Time series. I don't know if you've read it or not. I know Courtney's read it. It's a fantasy series, very in-depth series, very well written. Mm-hmm. It used to drive me crazy because there are so many characters in that book. It's along the lines of Game of Thrones with the number of characters that are in it. And we'd be going along and this action would be happening and the next chapter would be a totally different character. And I'm like, but what happened? And then meanwhile, it takes me 3-4 chapters and now I'm getting into this one and he goes back to the other one. And I'm like,
I know.
But it kept me reading.
Yes.
And
yes.
And he did a great job. I think he died. He died before he finished it. I think
Brandon Sanderson. Yes.
Finished it, which I haven't read that. I haven't gotten that far.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
but yeah,
anyway,
no,
yeah.
I agree. I think noticing the transitions between moods and atmospheres is a really good thing for beta readers to keep a lookout for.
You know, and as a beta reader, I might have told that author, you know, that bothered me, and he might have said, ha 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 ha.
It's supposed to bother you.
That's what I wanted.
Right.
That's good. That's fine.
Yeah. Point out what the author did well. So don't focus on things that only only on things that need improvement. Cause you know, we want our authors to continue doing the things that we enjoy. So make sure you tell them what they did very well also. Mm-hmm. You know, pure criticism can be demoralizing. You know, and I'm sure their passion for writing led them to do great things.
Yeah. Writers are extremely sensitive creatures.
Yeah.
Which is so funny because we get rejected over and over and over. You've got to not take that to heart.
Right.
So we're good at taking the rejection, but we are sensitive. And, you know, it brings back to mind that meme again from.
Oh, the Tangled one.
The Tangled.
Yes.
The Tangled meme. Where we love it and we hate it and we're gonna, you know, this is the best thing ever. Oh my God, I'm such a terrible writer.
Right.
It is absolutely true. And so, yeah, we need to make sure that we let the author know this worked really well, which with Louis and Delaney, that was very easy to do because there were so many scenes. I remember it was a simple scene. It was the scene where Delaney was walking down the hallway to go to Louis's apartment. And the way you described the rug and the walls, it was just brilliant.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. And I mean, such an odd scene to stick out in my mind as being really, really well written.
Yeah. It's funny. I've gotten feedback like that from Sydney too. She said, you focus on details in a way that like, I would never think to write that into a book. But it's so good. Like, I think I have Delaney wrap her hands around a cup of tea to warm up her fingers, something like that. Mm-hmm. And Sydney was like, what made you put that in there? I was like, I don't know. She had tea in her hands. So she wrapped her fingers around it to warm them up because it was cold. And she's like, yeah, but what made you think of that? I was like, I don't know. It's like, it's a description. I don't know. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Yeah.
And that can be so uplifting. I know there have been times when I would send you something, a chapter to beta read, and I would be so crushed about it because I would think it sucked. And I just, you know, I'd be in that Tangled meme downside.
Yes.
And you'd read it and go, okay, this is good. And this is why. And this is what I think this needs to be done. And I really liked how you did this. And I'm like, oh my God. And all of a sudden I'm inspired to write again.
Well, you always crush the humor. So like, I love reading your stuff because your humor is so on point. So I'm like, I'm happy to read your chapter. You're welcome. I'm happy to read your chapters because, well, the fairies are always doing something and you're freaking fairies. Mm-hmm. And you know, your Kata is always saying something to Taryn that's like, oh my God, like, why would you say stop? So no, you definitely crush it. So
I love that humor, but that makes me feel so good. And it makes me willing to jump back in and write more, when the whole reason I sent you probably that chapter was because I was stuck or I just didn't feel like it was going in the right direction. And, you know, a beta reader can help. I guess that's actually alpha reader at that point.
Yeah.
Alpha reader can help move you in the right direction, get you remotivated, and beta readers too.
Right.
Yeah.
Especially with that positive feedback.
Yes.
If you got something positive to say, I would definitely give it to your author.
Yes.
That said, I'm going to switch gears and say, be brutally honest. I think this is arguably the most important piece of advice to me personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's also why, you know, I think we said it earlier, why you should look, I don't know if we did say it or not, look outside your inner circle, because, you know, my dad's not going to want to crush my feelings by saying, you know, this really sucked. And so if you look outside of your inner circle, you can get the best, honest, and candid feedback. You and I do really well because we have both told each other, tell me. That's what I need your help.
That's what I want.
Yeah. Yes. Tell me. I mean, it's not going to hurt my feelings. I'll be sad, but right. obviously I needed your input because I knew there was something wrong.
Right. I think a lot of what comes with that too is like, you know, I also will offer suggestions of what I think will make it better if you want that. You mm-hmm. know, you might not, and that's totally fine too, because I can tell you, hey, this just didn't work for me and this is why. Mm-hmm. But you sometimes ask, you know, well, what would make it better? And so like mm-hmm. I think that helps a lot also. So it's not just like a this was really shitty, just chuck it. You know, it's more like a this didn't work and this is why, and I'm gonna tell you what I would do, whether you
yeah, and it's not necessarily that scene or what I was trying to get across was bad. I just didn't do it in a manner that it needed to be done. And with your brutally honest input, I'm able to go, okay, I need this information across. How can I get it across better?
Yeah.
It's important to know that.
Which I think you did for me with Mac. You told me something about my antagonist and I was like, oh, that's actually a really good point. Mm-hmm. And I went and changed a lot of stuff about that. And I think it made the story stronger. And that's the whole point.
And you don't have to just because
no, absolutely.
I think yeah. that you have in your mind why you did what you did, you know, and it may be crucial later to have what you had happen, but it's always good to have in the back of your mind, this created a problem. There might be a better way to do it.
Right.
You know, or you might just totally say, screw that. I like the way it is. I mean, and that's fine too.
Right.
Yeah. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
No, that's very true. And you know, the whole point is, you know, basically just don't hide negative criticism. Mm-hmm. It's not helpful to the author. You were asked to beta read for a reason. And that is to help find these things that just don't work in the story. Make sure your author knows what to fix prior to sending their manuscript out for publishing. Cause that's, you know, it's more helpful than only receiving compliments.
Yeah. And then on the other side of it, you know, how to be a good beta reader. Oh, yeah. How do we find a good beta reader? You know, friends and family, yeah. obviously, but right. you always have to worry about whether they're going to be that brutally honest. You know, my dad would right. never want to hurt my feelings. He wouldn't tell me it was bad no matter what. My mom might. Although
I could see Nana doing it.
Yeah, she won't read my books. She hates this genre and she said, I'm not going to read them. Even if you get published, I'm not going to read them. And I mean, okay, she likes mysteries. She likes factual things. She is not the type of person that believes in magic and that kind of thing. So yeah, she said she would never read my books. I'm like, okay.
Well, that's all right.
You can find beta readers through your writing groups, which is how you and I both, there's a Facebook writing group that yep. we were a part of, and we both got our little critiquers through that.
Yeah.
So Facebook, Twitter, Instagram communities, there's a lot of really good writing communities out there. I found a website that listed a bunch that I've never heard of before. Oh. Absolute Write Watercolor, Write WRITE.
It says, use cooler, water cooler.
Oh, cooler. Sorry. Yeah. It said that this one's kind of hard to navigate, but it has a meeting place for authors and beta readers, and it's been around for years, apparently.
Neat.
Beta readers and critique partners Facebook group. It has over 7,000 members.
Wow.
CP matchmaking pairs authors and beta readers. How cool is that?
That is very cool.
Nathan's Bransford Forum. It's another matchmaking site. And Nathan Bransford is the one who puts it together. And he wrote How to Write a Novel. Goodreads has a beta reader group.
Oh, neat.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm not surprised. Of course they
do. Right, yeah.
10-Minute Novelist Facebook group, My Writer's Circle. So, and I'll try to remember to go into our website and list all of these so that with their links, there's links and everything. So I'll try to do a blog, that's the word. I'll try to do a blog and put all these in there so you can just come and read the blog and click on these links and go check them out. I haven't checked them out, so I don't know if they're good or not, but I was excited to find a list of people, how to match make, you know, authors and beta readers. How cool is that?
Definitely.
So that's all I've got. There's probably a whole lot more we can talk about, especially since there's
definitely
two sides, being the beta reader and needing the beta reader.
Right. Because I thought about, you know, I could have done, you know, questions to ask, which I don't know if we did a mini on this. I don't remember. I vaguely remember talking about this, but questions to ask your beta reader once they finished your manuscript. So, you know, how was the flow? Like things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. I can't remember if we've talked about that or not.
I don't feel like we have. You and I have talked about it, but I don't know if we've done an episode.
Yeah.
Because I remember, and I missed the days before COVID when you'd come over and we'd sit out on the deck and have a glass of wine or, you know, whatever your ale that you like. What is
cider?
Apple cider. That's it. And we'd sit out on the deck for hours in the sun and just chat about writing.
That's lovely. Yeah.
That's where this podcast came from.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we finally were like, we should record this.
I was like, listen, we talk a lot. We ought to just record it.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's all I've got on this for now. We might come back to it in a future episode.
Yeah. I do have an interview question.
Okay.
What's your favorite part about beta reading books?
Well, since
you might have actually answered it a little bit in the beginning, but
maybe. You're the main person I beta read for, and I am always so excited to see what stories you've got. Your stories are wonderful. I am always excited to jump into whatever this new world is. That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily the part where I'm looking for typos and errors. I am so excited about the story. I can't wait to see what the story is and what the plots are and what the scoop is that is going on with this book. I'm always excited to read your books.
Nice. Well, thank you very much. Mm-hmm. For me, I'm always excited to see the craft that gets used. I really, 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 really enjoy analyzing writing craft. And so that's probably my favorite part about going into a new beta reading book. I'm like, okay, let's see how they structured this story. Let's see how mm-hmm. we get from this very beginning where this character is starting out as like this fresh little baby pupa. And then how do they get to the end where they're finally a butterfly? You know, like I love seeing the intricacies of the craft of
that. We're watching on HBO Max right now, the series called The Head. You may have seen advertisements for it on Twitter. That's where I found out about it. And so we looked it up and we're watching it. Very well written.
Nice.
I don't know yet where it's going, which is so exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's good enough that I haven't figured it out yet.
Oh, lovely.
And I find myself talking to it. Oh. I'm like, why did you do that? And then I'll turn to your dad who's looking at me and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I guess the fact that I'm talking to the TV means that it's a good story.
Sounds like it. Yeah.
Yeah. So like you, I'm now in this story for the first time ever. I don't know where it's going. It has that promise.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's definitely part of like what it is. Cause I'm like you said, there's a whole new story, a whole new thing to read here. Let's see what comes out of it. Mm-hmm. It's very exciting to me.
Yeah.
I also have a sentence challenge for our folks out there who, want to write a page using this sentence. Jen is really, really, really fucking good.
Yeah.
Love her stuff. I don't know if we've gotten stuff from other people, but either way, like
so far, just Jen that I've seen.
Nice. Okay.
And,
well,
and she's amazing.
She's great. But yeah, if you're interested in writing a sentence, the one for this week is a bit of dialogue and it's, well, everyone's a critic.
I like that one.
So.
All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Come check out our website, eatdrinkwritepodcast.com. It has links to all our social media there, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest. Thank you to our two patrons, Deanna and Jen. Let us know thoughts, ideas, topics, jokes, please jokes. what struggles you all are going to. If you all have beta read, what something we've missed, tell us about it. We'll
absolutely
share it here. And I guess we will see you next week.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.